Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Michelle, your host today of Women Who Lead, and we have a fascinating leading lady today. But I want to share with you first, our topic is basically a dirty word. You know, she's going to tell us it's not our leading lady, but our topic today is everyone is in sales, and it's not a dirty word. So I am pleased to introduce our leading lady today. She is Deborah Cantor, and she is in relationship sales. She is a relationship sales trainer, a public speaker. This is one amazing dynamic woman. I know her personally. And Deb is also the CEO and president of Cantor Sales Training Association. So Miss Deb, please say hello to all of our listeners and welcome to the show.
Hello, Michelle, and thank you for having me.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you because, you know, for our listeners, I want you to know probably, let's just say across the board, and I don't think I'm wrong here, that as a woman in business, whether you own your own business, you're a professional, and you work for somebody else, I think all of us, we hate the word sell, you know, and I know you have a concept here that everyone is in sales. And my question is, are we, Deb, are we really all in sales? Why don't you share with us? Because I know the answer, but I want you to share with our listening audience.
Thanks. It's a great question, and it's one that comes up all the time, Michelle. And yes, the answer is absolutely. And I'll take it to the most simple form. It's really about persuasion. It's about influence. If you replace that ugly, dirty word called sales with being an influencer, being an information broker, and being somebody who persuades. We do it in our personal life. If you're raising kids, right? You're persuading them to do
that's
what
called
you
negotiation.
Need them to do.
I think that's called negotiation, not persuasion.
Exactly. And it's influence, right? You show them two or three choices. And it carries through to relationships. When you're going out with friends to see a movie, everybody has a thought in mind about what they'd like to see. And so you are selling, right? You're influencing and persuading. In business, it gets a little more difficult or touchy because a lot of times we're talking to women who are sole practitioners. They are the artist, the person who provides a service, a skill. Their background is science or finance or something technical, and they're in that space because it's their nature, and it is not their nature to sell. However, if they don't get comfortable in their own skin in that role, then their pipeline isn't full and business isn't coming to them in abundance. And we want to get women comfortable with the spotlight being on them and with them being information brokers and being able to present what it is they do so that they can attract more business, more clients, and have that success.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because I come across, as you know, I see a few women every day, and I know you do too with, you know, your circles. It's always interesting to me because women will say, oh, God, I hate sales, right? Or they'll say, you know, those that are, like for me, this is the story I always love is when I was in banking, you know, they don't call you a salesperson. They call you a business development director, right? Because, you know, and bankers kind of stink at selling, in my opinion. But I do find very common that women will just, they just, for whatever reason, they just scout over sales. And I'm curious from your perspective, I mean, what do you see as the biggest, you know, hurdles women have? Is it just really a mindset that if I change it from selling to persuading or influencing, or what seems to be the biggest challenge for women to kind of get over that? I struggle with it too. As much as I love people, I still find myself kind of going through that where call avoidance or, oh, if I follow up, I'm going to be a nag. It's like they're not going to want to hear from me. But now that I've asked 20,000 questions, my final question to you is, what is it that you seem to see from your perspective that women really struggle with so much as it relates to sales?
I think that they're all great questions, and I think they really all circle around the same issue, and it's that women typically are not raised to boast. They're not raised to boast about themselves. They're not raised to brag. They're raised to be polite and appropriate, and I believe that you can be polite and appropriate, but Michelle, you are the perfect example of somebody who does what I think women need to do when they want to replace that word called sales, and it's passion. For as long as I've known you, you are deeply passionate about women experiencing excellence and success, and you're so passionate about it that picking up the phone to tell people about all of the ways that, you believe it's important to promote those ideas, you have no hesitation, right? And you don't think
well,
of it as
no,
selling.
Right. I've learned passion does sell, yes.
Passionate. And so I'm going to take that word and combine it with something called value proposition. When you are passionate about what you're doing, what you as an individual are doing, what your role is, or you're passionate about the company and its business philosophy, when you combine those things and you think about why would somebody want to hire you and why are you the best person to bring that service or that product or that business to their table, when you can find that the words to be able to express your value proposition, and you are so completely 100%, brace yourself, sold on that. So you do have to sell yourself first. You have to sell yourself first. You have to know why you're doing what you're doing. Be passionate about it. And I will even go so far as to say, if you're not, maybe you're not doing the thing you really should be doing. If you can't find that level of passion that you have and that I have in our businesses, and that's the first place to begin. Once you have that, then it's about energy and excitement and enthusiasm. It isn't about selling. It's about how do I get people to hear what I'm so excited about and find the right audience, right? You're not going to talk about this subject to a group of men in construction because it's not going to apply to them, right?
Well,
but
and
it's gonna
I
apply
totally agree
to a certain audience.
Yeah, and when, there's a key phrase that you said, and I'd love for you to expand on that, is finding the right audience. Because even, you know, when you're selling, and let's just take for, you know, right now our focus is for women owners. I want to talk about, you know, professional women and corporate women trying to obviously sell themselves for promotions or raises or things like that. But for women owners that listen to us right now, I think there's, you know, again, you've got to go know who you're going after. Can you talk a little bit? Because I think there's a difference between prospecting and selling. I mean, is that your perspective? And what would be that difference? Or is there?
Oh, I absolutely. I mean, you ask a lot of questions all rolled into one, Michelle.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to be better about that.
No, it's a good thing.
I need to be better.
It's
I have
a really
20
good
questions.
Thing. Yeah. Because you have excitement
one.
And we're
just
trying to
one.
Cover a lot of ground. No, I think
right.
I can capture it all. The concept of who your audience is, if you're in business, I would hope you know that, right? You created CWI because you know who your audience is. They're women entrepreneurs and business owners and women who are working in traditional roles in corporate America. That is your audience, and you know that. I think most of us, if you're selling real estate, you know your audience are buyers and sellers, right? And in my world, my audience is significantly more broader in that it's really anybody who is looking to increase their sales and therefore increase their success. The bottom line, though, is I think most of us know who our audience is, based on the business we do. It's about how do we get to them? How do we, you used a great word, it's prospecting. When people hear the word prospecting, they hear cold call, right? That's that scary thing. The, oh my God, do I have to cold call somebody? And I would say, if you know your value proposition, and I'm going to keep on saying that phrase because it's imperative. If you are in love with and know and deeply believe in your value proposition, what it is that you are servicing or selling, so to speak, or offering, then every call you make, in my perspective, is it's an introductory call. You're an information broker. You are not selling anything. You're making people aware of a service that you have or a product that you have that could help them. The way that you know who to call is to identify what their need is. Where's their need, and can you serve them? Can you serve them? And and not everybody is your client, right? Not everybody's your customer or your client. But what you want to do is focus on the people that you believe have a need that you can serve. And then not think of it as cold calling, but think of it as an introduction, somebody that you can tell what you have or what you have to offer and find out if that might be of interest to them. So I consider every phone call, every touch, a warm call.
And I love that, but you know, there are, I guess here, let's kind of talk a little bit. I love the idea that passion's good. You have to believe in what you sell, you know, but there are, I guess, some roles. I mean, do you feel that that's a really important criteria, like for women who are in, let's say, sales or business development, and they work for a company, and is that a key piece of it for you to be effective in sales?
It's imperative.
You have to love what you're selling. So if you're not, then what would you suggest our listeners do if they're not?
That's a great question.
Because that's a hard one.
Yep, and this is the hat that you know me to be wearing because, you know, I've been doing sales training and you and I talk a lot about that. The hat I wore previously was in staffing. So I, for 20-something years, I met people in careers that they, you know, they weren't in love with and they weren't always excited about what they were doing. So if you're not excited about what you're doing, at the very least, you need to be knowledgeable. Okay, if you're in a position where, you know what, this is where I am, this is where my income is, I can't change that, I have obligations, I have things I have to do, and this is sort of my lot in life, and some people have that experience, I would tell you, at the absolute very least, know your product, know your company, know your competition, know why you are in the best space you could be in to do that, and know your own self. So there's two things you're selling, if you will. One of them is the service, the product, the business that you bring to the table that you represent. The other is you, the individual you, and talking about the qualities that you have that would make somebody want to do business with you, that you're honest, that you're diligent, that your head won't hit the pillow until you've done what you promised. Those are those qualities that if you started out, and here's just to sort of take it back to your desk, helpful hint. If you started out by thinking about all of the things, just jot a bullet list down of all of the things that you believe make you good at what you do. So, you know, I just covered some of them, that you're diligent, you have great follow-up skills, that you're a very good listener. You understand, you have the ability to hear what people's needs are and be able to address those needs, that you're somebody who asks the right questions to get to that answer, to know what their needs are. When
those
you think
good.
About all your individual qualities, those are things that when you and I think about people we're going to hire in any capacity, at any level, service vendor, you think about the things that you find important in terms of qualities that they have that you would want in somebody representing you. If you were hiring an attorney to represent you, you would want that person to have super strong negotiation skills, right? You'd want them not to be timid. You'd want them to stand strong. So I think that if you start with those things, then you start looking at what are all the wonderful things about you.
I love
that. And that
starts
to define your value proposition.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, I mean, I always learn new stuff from you every time I talk to you, so just know that. You know, I'm just like, always love your nugget.
Thank you.
Something I'm curious about, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but do you see, you know, in your experience, because I want to talk a little bit about your background and experience as well, but in some of the client scenarios you've been in, do you see kind of a difference between what, let's say, men versus women deal with when it comes to selling and where they're effective? Like, do women struggle differently with certain things than men do? I'm just kind of curious your perspective of, you know, that age-old question, what's the difference between men and women? And we're talking about selling.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference?
Oh,
as
my
you see
Lord.
We don't have enough time for that
so
today,
think,
but hit a couple of them.
You know what? We'll do another show one day.
Yeah, exactly.
I think some of the key differences, and I'm going to start with the positives, is that I think that what women have that is such an incredible quality is I think we have a level of emotional intelligence that our male counterparts, again, we're not raised with. We talked earlier about how a lot of times women aren't raised to be boastful, to be braggers,
right.
And you know, they're not comfortable having the spotlight on them. But women have an incredible innate quality. It's a nurturing quality. It falls under that category of emotional intelligence. And I think that is actually a plus that we have that we don't always use to the best of our abilities. So, you know, I'm in my mid-50s. I was raised in a time when you had to compete against these men and be tough. And, you know, the firm handshake won. And
right.
You couldn't show that feminine side of you. You couldn't show the nurturing side of you. But in fact, I believe those are qualities that that add to the benefit that women bring to the table above and beyond and over what men might bring. Where men are stronger is in their negotiation skills, and it's in knowing what their ask is. And that's another area that I work a lot on with people is knowing how to present what they do in a succinct way, knowing what their ask is. And men are very clear on that. And women are less clear on that. And it doesn't serve them. So that is something I work very closely with my clients on. And I think we all need to get a little bit better with that, with being able to present who and what we are, what we do, and then what we're looking for.
And do you find that that's just a matter of kind of practice and being very laser focused to kind of, you know, excel at that? I mean, are there any tips you can give that, you know, I mean, because that's interesting. I've never heard that before. But for some of our listeners,
Absolutely.
Would there be a couple of tips you might, you know, make to them as far as becoming,
Absolutely.
You know, more focused and understanding what they're really selling?
I think one of the things that I have many tips. One of them is something that you promote, and that is getting yourself involved in networking groups, where I look at networking groups as spaces that provide me with trusted advisors.
Mm-hmm.
Those spaces where you get to know women. One of the things women have over men all day long is that we have created these support spaces for ourselves. I know so many male counterparts who have said, I am so jealous of the support groups that women have for one another, where they can bounce ideas off of each other and have people to give them guidance and advice. That's not something that men allow themselves the vulnerability to have in their lives. And I find that fascinating. And what I would say about that is, in the way of tips, use those trusted advisors. Ask them for a date, a coffee meeting, to sit down and say, you've heard me present. We've been in networking spaces where you've heard me present what I do. Do you have any recommendations for how am I doing with that? When I present what I do, what do you hear?
Mm-hmm.
And by asking people that, it's a great way, because here's the thing. If you never ask, and people are, you know, far too polite to tap you on the shoulder and say, you know, I just listened to you present, and 3 minutes later, I still have no idea what you do for a living.
I hear that all the time. I hear that all the time.
I know.
It is funny, but go ahead. But then we only got a little more time, and it's like this time goes so fast. But, you know, something else that I see, too, with sales, at least from, you know, being effective, and that is, I mean, can you touch on a little bit about the fact that I see so many women, you know, they struggle with, like, for lack of a better phrase, like a flow and a system, because there is, in my mind, this is where we meaning me, where I started to become extremely effective. And, you know, when I first started in business, it was just like, it was so freaking random, you know? And then all of a sudden, you kind of go, okay, we need to build a process and a system. But what are your thoughts on that for some of our listeners? Because I think that's an important piece, right?
A process and a system of doing business or of networking? I'm not sure.
Of selling. Because, I mean, I know you're a big proponent on the idea that it's, you know, it's more than just, you know, following up with somebody and going, hey, you know, we met, do you, you know, or you did a, let's say you did some sort of a meeting with somebody where you made a proposal, and then, you know, people don't get back to you, you know, you follow up and they don't do anything. But to me, there needs to be a system and a process there. And I know you have a really strong perspective on the idea of how many touches and follow up, and I've heard some as well, but can you share just a little bit about your perspective on don't give up on the first, second, or third try, because so many women do.
Oh, exactly.
Just feel like, oh, I'm being
a bother. I just know you listen to me now because that's something I talk a lot about, right? So that's exciting.
Yeah.
And so here's some interesting statistics for people to hear, and it's really interesting because you can ask yourself, where do you fall into this category? So 50 for people who are pursuing prospecting, right? That word prospecting, ooh, that person suggested that they might be interested in this. I'm going to call them and I'm going to follow up. So 50% of all people who make calls like that actually never go past the first try. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
So they leave a message, they send an email, and they never make a second attempt. 65% of those same people stop trying after the second try. So of those who do go to a second try, and here's the bottom line, and I can go through all the percentages with you, but here's the really impacting one. Nationally, the sales statistic is that that 80% of all sales are made between the 8th and 12th call.
Jeez.
So there is a lot of business being missed. And one important additional statistic, only 11% of all people out there whose business relies on referrals, 11% are asking for referrals, directly asking for referrals. It gets back to what you and I were just speaking about, which is I believe that women in particular, they need to gain more confidence in their ask. So when they go out to that meeting, they make a proposal, they are so quick to get up, shake hands, and leave instead of asking that next question, which is, I've presented, what else do you need to hear? How do you intend on making this decision? What do you need, you know, what process do you have in order to make a decision about whether you'll be moving forward with me? That is a frightening question. What I like to do is work with people on how to get comfortable asking that question. And that takes practice, whether it's with that group of networking friends, those trusted advisors, your significant other, people at home, friends of yours, colleagues that you can do some, I know role-playing, it's an ugly word, nobody likes hearing that. So what I call that is building muscle, Michelle. It's practicing the things that you need to do in order to generate new business until you can get comfortable with it. And it's living outside of your comfort level, which is really what I think the key to all of the things that you and I are talking about is. The key is getting outside of your comfort level so that you can build muscle and ask the tougher questions. And where men have it over women is they are fearless about asking those tougher questions.
I love that. Yeah, I want to switch I was just going to say, yeah. I want to stick
ahead.
You because I know you've had a long history in sales, and I love the advice you're giving, and I'm sure some of our listeners, you know, want to get more information. But, I mean, what – because you're very passionate about sales, and I – God love you on that one, because I just kind of go, wow, there's not a lot of people that, you know, are very passionate about selling. And what led you to kind of be this Pied Piper of – selling, you know, for supporting business? I'm kind of curious, you know, well, how you found this as kind of your niche, and you're very good at it in a great way, right? Because when we have a great experience with those kind of exciting people, then it doesn't seem like selling. But how did you get into this profession and decide to do this?
It's not. So my story is, in a nutshell, I grew up in a home where my dad was in sales. I grew up with him sitting at the head of the table every night and making what you know were called cold calls. And when I was a young teen and wanted to start babysitting to make a, you know, 50 cents an hour, my dad said, why don't you get some leads for me? You know how to do this. And because it's all I'd ever heard. I don't think I ever shared that story with you. It's all I ever heard. So I knew exactly what his rap was. I knew what to say. The really fun part of that story is my maiden name was Mason. And I said, well, Dad, I can't call those people and be Debbie Mason. That's going to sound kind of hokey. So I came up with my call name, which was Debbie Bright.
It's my fun story
because I thought, oh, wouldn't that be great? They'll be excited to hear from somebody named Debbie Bright. And I did my dad's pitch. My dad paid me really well to get him those leads. And I knew I had to qualify them. I had to confirm them. And if he sold that deal, then I got paid. So at 13, that's what I was doing when my friends were babysitting. And and that just grew. So 4 decades of sales, what I call intangibles, selling. I was in the staffing business. So really talking about people's careers, their livelihoods, and making changes that sometimes involved physical moves and their families and their, as I said, their livelihoods. And then ultimately did a number of things, you know, along the way that again, all fall under that umbrella. And here's really the reason I am so passionate about what I do with my sales training business. I see people who are so uncomfortable, and I ache for them, and I want to be able to touch their lives in a way that provides them with practical take back to their desk tools so that they're able to honestly exceed their own expectations of themselves. And it thrills me when I can do that. And it's often not revamping everything somebody's doing. It's really just the tiny little tweaks. The changing the tapes that run through their mind, the things that they tell themselves about, oh my God, this is going to be painful, I don't want to make this call, and helping them not let those be the tapes that run through their mind when they're, you know, picking up the phone, and instead changing those tapes to be, I have something very valuable to offer and I'm so excited about it, I can't wait to share it. So that's really in a nutshell.
Those are pretty. I can tell you're very passionate when you talk about what you do. And, you know, I'm going to kind of like say the other kind of key thing is that I thought was fascinating about where you kind of have a niche and your focus is on businesses that really, you know, don't see that sales is part of their vernacular, if I can say that, right? Can you touch a little bit just about those types of companies where you call it, I think, frontline training? Is that what you call it? And
exactly.
How, like, restaurants and companies like that, just they need to look at it because, you know, you have a great perspective on that. Share a little bit about that.
Thank you, Michelle. So really there's two kinds of spaces, and it's going to cover pretty much every kind of business you can think of right now. There's the intentional sales team. That's the company who has a product. They've got a sales team. They've got a sales manager. Everybody absolutely knows what their role is. Their role is to pick up the phone, generate appointments, ultimately generate sales. That's pretty simple. I work in those spaces. Sometimes those teams have flatlined. and they just need to gain a new perspective and find the fire, so to speak. That's what my sales managers out there talk to me about, is I need to ignite the fire under them. Then there's the place that you were just referencing that is really a passion of mine, and it is the what I call unintentional sales spaces. That is every soul practitioner. You and I meet them every day. They're the person who owns their own accounting firm, the person who is doing a digital web design and they're working for themselves. It's the doctor's office, the dentist's office, retail, you mentioned that, restaurants, where they need to find a way to embrace the people that come into their world, meaning customer, client, crosses their threshold, a patient crosses a doctor's threshold. And right now there's a national statistic out there for general practitioners. They have a 30% retention rate. That means 70% of the people that walk through their doors do not come back. Those same people are not referring business by any means. And not only are they not referring, they are not writing reviews, or what's worse than that is they're writing horrible reviews. So you've got a dissatisfied client or customer that's never coming back, and you aren't going to gain any new business, and they're going to hurt other business from coming to you. So those frontline teams that they have, they're the people who can buffer that. They're the first voice. They're the first face that potential client, customer, patron sees. And the owners of those businesses, the doctor, the restaurant owner, the retail shop owner, they don't necessarily understand or realize the value in making certain that those frontline teams are trained properly so that people coming through the door are feeling valued, they're feeling listened to, appreciated, mm-hmm. and attended to.
Wowza.
It's sales is really it's across the board. There isn't any one of us that isn't at some level doing it, and it truly is not a dirty word. It's a very, very necessary aspect of all of our businesses.
You know, I totally agree, because I always say to our team, I go, look, I have to tell myself this every day. We are a sales organization. If we aren't, kind of focused on that and remembering that from everybody that interacts with members and supporters and, sponsors, it's like we wouldn't be around, because, that's the heart and soul of a company and, how they do it. Last question, because I know we're just like seriously out of time, Deb. I want to have you back.
I know.
I know, it goes so fast. If we have any listeners that want to reach you or have questions about your services or things like that, how would you like people to reach you? Can you share how you want to be contacted?
Absolutely. The easiest thing ever. So they can see my website, which is cantorsalestraining.com. They can email me at cantorsalestraining@gmail.com, or they can call me toll-free at 844-CANTOR-1, the number one.
And let's do that again. Cantor is K-A-N as in no, T as in Tom, O-R, correct? The
exactly.
Number one.
Thank you, Michelle.
.com.
Yep, exactly.
No, you've got it. And we all know now from today, I just want all of our listeners to know, everyone is in sales. And I think that is
absolutely
quite the message and the mantra. So thank you so much for being our leading lady today. I can't believe our time ran out already. Actually, I can. That's what happened. But you have been awesome. to our listeners, I want you to have a fabulous weekend, because it's Friday and it's beautiful here in Southern California. And I just want to share, as you know, for most of you that listen in, we are here every Friday at 2 p.m. and Mondays, Monday mornings at 9 a.m. And our Monday show, we are interviewing our lovely Deanna Potter, who is one of our hosts. She is interviewing, and our title is Working in the Public Sector, From Pitfalls to Powerhouse Wins. We are interviewing Kat Rippey, who's the Director of Organizational Development for the Center for Organization Effectiveness. So to all of our listeners, I just want to say, as you know, we always go as women, we should be supporting one another. So please go out there and support another woman, and have a great weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.